Charlotte Soccer Show.
John Hayes, Danny Brams, and Anna Witte here on a Sunday at Hot Fly Brewing Company. It's a pleasure to be here. Unfortunately, it's after a loss. It's a 1-0 loss. It's Charlotte FC's first loss of the season. It was bound to happen. So, Danny Brams, I'm taking the viewpoint today that let's just get it out of the way.
I mean, we weren't going to go undefeated, right? We got to admit that we weren't going to go undefeated. Thank you, John. Welcome, Anna. Welcome. Welcome, TIFOs around the world for watching. We appreciate you all. Yeah, I mean, win, lose, and draw. We've got one each, right, this season. So which was your favorite, Anna, the win, the draw, or the loss? Or which was your least favorite, maybe?
I think naturally.
We'll go for the obvious answer.
The least, yeah. But I think there's a lot of positives.
The tough questions right out of the gate for Danny.
Right. Well, first off, what you drinking? How about we ask what you drinking first and get the real easy one out of the way?
Cheers.
Yeah, why don't you start, Anna? Because, you know, this is a first for us on the show. We've got a cocktail from Hot Fly today on the show.
Yeah, I thought it would mix things up. I got the spilled like half of it.
Mid-season form. Let's go.
The Queen City Paloma. It's really good.
I love it.
Highly recommend. Fresh, light. Beautiful day in Charlotte. Why not?
Paloma means dove in Spanish.
It's a beautiful day. And when you think about it, Danny, right? A sip of tequila the morning after, or the afternoon after a loss is not the worst idea in the world.
The wings of the dove, baby. Let's go.
We've got the same thing.
Extra time, maybe. We're trying to kick this keg of extra time, basically. I just have not stopped drinking this ever since they released it. It's very, very good. I had about 10 of them on the Vancouver night. I only had about 6 yesterday, so cut myself back. I just held myself back just a little bit, but it was matinee. You know, it was a good time. But thanks to everyone who showed up at Hot Fly. We had a really good time partying with TIFOs and watching the match, and it was good vibe. And like, I'm really digging the warehouse vibe scene. Some people are not going to like this, but I kind of like how when we watch these games, they've got the audio. I don't think it was on purpose. I think it might have been an accident, but the way the audio setup works is you just hear the crowd noise and the cheering, and they don't have the announcer track. Some people might want the announcer track. I actually really dig the vibe of like just sort of being able to watch and decide. Don't have to listen to an announcer's analysis. I can decide what I want, but I can hear the stadium and the natural sound, and it's a good vibe. So watch party has been great. Unfortunately, result was not great, and we were all feeling it. Everybody here was like, oh, this is – we're like, it's a great vibe, and then a freaking wonder strike just kind of silenced us all.
Well, that's our first comment on the show today is let's just get that out of the way. Ha ha.
Yes.
If it had to happen, I can't even be mad about losing on a goal like that.
It happens. What's up, Latin Fire?
It was a wonder goal from Insigne, and we might as well. I love a good celebration. I hate when a celebration like that is against Charlotte FC, but it was a wonder strike, and it was even a better celebration. A moment for Toronto FC, and what was their home opener? Mm-hmm. Even though we always want Charlotte FC to get the result, you can't hate on them for that moment, can you?
No. And also on a goal like that, the fact that Insigne can duke everyone in that moment and hit that strike, I think you mentioned the celebration. My favorite was when he beat the Herdman and just like celebrated with him. What a cool moment
it
for
was
them.
An awesome moment.
Excited for Toronto. But yeah, I mean,
man, Herdman's doing some good things up there. We heard about him in the warm up in the week previous, Kaelin Kyle was bragging up her old coach and he gave us he showed us some things, man. Toronto's tactics were nice. They played the false nine. They confused us. They switched things up, got a little more aggressive in the second half. What you heard Herdman commented on it post game about how they needed to be able to, they were giving up the central part of the field against us. But when they changed that, that's when they found more success. So credit to us for being difficult to play against. Obviously, even when you lose, the mission, the mantra of Dean Smith has said, we want to make this team difficult to play against. And I think that's, he's achieved that. He's accomplished that for sure. Toronto now, it's unfortunate to lose to Toronto because even though they have yet to concede this year, they only have 2 goals this year, and they're both like Insigne wonder strikes to the top right corner, like upper 90. Like that's the only way they can score. In fact, we'll hear from Dean Smith later. He said, I think that's the only way they would have scored against us. So it's a little bit frustrating, but we just have to take it. But we can try to build on the positives. I guess we really want to get into, there's kind of a controversy, different takes about whether was the goal just a goal, wonder strike that like you can never defend, or was it bad defense by Charlotte? Should we have known that a guy like Insigne wants to do that run in from the left wing and put the ball on his right foot? Was it poor defending? We've seen some different takes.
Well, let's watch the play. And
you ready? Should we tee it up?
Debate after.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. If you already, I'm sure y'all had this playing in your head on a loop last night in your nightmares, but we're gonna play it for you one more time.
If not nasty. He was aiming at Insigne, who was just loitering with intent at the top of the 18. Insigne. Insigne unleashes the ball!
into this place roar. Lorenzo Insigne with venom.
We talked about Insigne's ability to make up magic out of nothing, but he conjures this up from all the way from Naples, Italy, here in Toronto to the top corner. My goodness, this is beautiful. Cuts in, and oh yes, there is no goalkeeper in the world that's keeping this out here. He's working on the weekend like usual. Lorenzo Insigne, number 24, jumps into the hands of his new manager. Salute.
Ugh. There was that celebration. Ugh. It's hard not to be happy for a great player like Insigne and a coach that, honestly, that I really respect.
I like Herdman, I do.
As the Canadian men's national team manager, I think Canada was playing unbelievably well heading into that World Cup. Something happened. I don't know what, but he's now at Toronto. Mm-hmm. But for me, that's just what, you know, Danny Brams, when I'm thinking about how I want to set up defensively,
mm-hmm.
What I really want to do is make sure that Scotty Arfield is subbed on the pitch. And that he's marking the most dangerous play.
Is that a sarcasm? That sounds like sarcasm, Johnny. I don't know. Let's take a look at this and maybe break it down a little bit. It starts off a corner, and you'll hear, we will play Dean's reaction to all this and Westwood's reaction to this, but like, this looks pretty good, right? Starting like clearing a corner, Kerwin gets a nice kick at it, and it's like, okay, we're good, right? Yeah. But then just didn't continue the defense, I guess you would say. What do you guys see here?
I think Charlotte FC just lazily stepped off their line. It was a little too slow. And the second piece, watches Arfield. He really wants to keep Insigne in the wide areas, but because right. he was two or three steps off of him and he's such an elite forward, he's not able to keep him wide. He's able to cut inside because his touch is so tight. And
right.
then Arfield
right there. That feels like the moment right there.
Yeah. And then there was the 2v1. Vargas could have slid out there and stopped.
Right. If Vargas
in.
Is standing where the referee is there, then it's a little bit harder for sure if he starts right. to play there.
So when
it's
you
a
give
great
him that
strike.
Space. Yeah. And that's where you have your help. So Arfield wasn't necessarily wrong in that moment if it was mm-hmm. me attacking, but when it's Insigne, he's going to take that strike exactly when he sees the moment.
If I'm watching this as a fan and I see my team defend a corner and the guy at the top of the box kicks it out deep, I'm thinking, okay, boom, we're good. We just defend the corner.
Okay,
shocks me we're giving him a goal 5 seconds later.
But you're getting organized.
Let me jump in here, right?
Please do.
And I think Anna is spot on here. I wouldn't use the term laziness. What I would say is that the keeper's job in that situation is to make sure that the back line steps way outside.
Yeah.
The
mm-hmm.
box, right. You need to make sure that you are stepping 2-3 yards outside the box. The ball is now cleared and forcing all of these. There's 6 players, by the way, for Toronto FC nearing the edge of the box when this ball is struck. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got a back line that is not in formation. They're not mm-hmm. in line together there. That's the one thing that I'm being critical about, right?
I mean,
I think the back line could have stepped out and maybe worried about an offside.
We've gotten
actually hang back.
I'm sorry. We got 9 players behind the ball here.
Well, also to John's point, if everyone steps, they're keeping everyone in an offside position. And if you're stepped higher, you're closer to the ball, you're likely to stop it before it becomes dangerous for the goalkeeper. So I think if the entire back line of Privet and Milanda got everyone stepped just a few seconds earlier, that shot could have been blocked and Arfield would have had better help.
That was my point.
Yeah.
And I was the one that put out the tweet from our account this morning. Let me just raise my hand on that because
I love it.
Sometimes you put out a tweet and people disagree and want to go back and forth.
I don't
know whether it's Danny or I or I that sent it. It was definitely me this morning. And what I said was I just felt like where was the help in the middle?
Yeah.
Who wanted to step outside the box and help poor Scotty Arfield sitting there 1v1.
And poor Christian Kolina.
He's 35 years old against one of the best players in MLS, and he just didn't get the job done. And there was just nobody there to help him. And that to me, I think is, I called out 2 players. I said, where's Patrick Ajuman?
Mm-hmm.
Where's the striker? Right. The striker has the ability to just kind of hang out in that area right outside the top of the edge of the box.
Right.
And where's Breck Diagre, the mm-hmm. number 10 as well, who takes up an area. And Breck Diagre was wide here. Patrick Ajuman was sitting super deep. I want both of those players to step up.
Yeah, Aji's in the box there.
Well, also, there's so many heads like shifting. They're trying to figure out where their mark is in that moment, knowing Insigne is going to take that shot. If it doesn't go in the goal, there's going to be that second shot opportunity. So you want to make sure the people running in are marked. There's so much happening in that moment that if Arfield could have just kept him in the wide areas, it would have given his team a second mm-hmm. to collect themselves. But I mean, Insigne is such an elite forward, and that's why it's such a wonder goal, is because he's so excellent at taking advantage of teams when they're not defensively set.
You think it could be the goal of the year in MLS?
Absolutely.
I mean, it's in the running for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. At week three, I mean, why not? And I don't think Charlotte should be disappointed in just like a second turnoff. I think overall the game was really good on their part, but that happens in a 90 plus minute game, you know?
I appreciate you saying that because at Hot Fly here, of course, Charlotte Soccer Show presented by Hot Fly, an amazing party, as Danny mentioned, for this away match yesterday in partnership with the Mint City Collective. La Muerte was here as well. Shout out to them for hanging out. I was asking everybody after the match because so many people showed up and I wanted people to have a good time. I was like, well, that was a decent watch though, right? Like, do you kind of enjoy it? Like, it was worth watching. It wasn't. When you don't score a goal and you're rooting for a team, sometimes you feel like, well, that was a waste of my time.
Right.
But I felt like
never. That's never happened to you.
I felt like because of all the set pieces that Charlotte FC had.
Right.
I felt like because of all Enzo Capetti's chances, there was a reason for people to get excited during this match despite not scoring a goal.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, even just their defensive set, I thought was excellent. Like week one, that was the biggest emphasis, and that hasn't dropped off at all. You don't get the goal, but you get so many pieces that are coming together, and they've been 10 shots in this game. That's a good performance, but yeah, at this level you need to see one go in the back of the net.
For me, it's about the fact that we're missing our chances. I think none of us expected us to go up and keep a clean sheet on the road at Vancouver or at Toronto, so we got to score more goals. That's just the fact of the matter. We will look at, and speaking of scoring more goals, we're going to take a look. We got a segment on Enzo Capetti coming up here in a second, but since I edited it, let's just let Dean and Ash, let's hear from Dean Smith and Ashley Westwood, what they thought about Insigne's goal. And then we'll come back and tie a bow on that before we move on.
Yeah, it was a game that was won by a wonder goal. My reflection now is that we didn't deserve to lose the game. But we didn't deserve to win it as well. I thought we were by far the better team in the first half, but they were slightly better than us in the second half. And, unfortunately, when it is that even, one moment of brilliance can win it, and it did today.
First half, we were the better side. It felt like that. Second half, we just come away a bit. I think a draw was a fair result. But like I said, we've been beat by a worldie of a goal, and you just have to hold your hands up sometimes. But it was good. There were some good signs out there. And like I said, we're a group that are working hard, sticking together. And it's just one of the things that these things happen in football. You just got to hold your hands up. You got beat by a bit of magic. And but like I said, first half, we did enough to be in front.
Yeah, I think they've had probably 7 or 8 shots from outside the box from 25 yards that, supporters have been getting hit on the head with. So, sometimes, unfortunately, he puts one into the top corner. He's done that for a number of years. He is a quality player. We wanted him to be coming into traffic, but I think it was second phase from a corner. They'd actually messed up the corner. I think Kerwin tried to get hold of it, and they ended up picking up the second ball. But it was a superb finish, and I felt that was the only way they were going to score against us, to be honest.
There you have it. If we give the last word to Dino and Ash, just a wonder goal, nothing you can do about it. But I do like the fact that it's not good enough for us. Like, we've heard that so much as fans, like, oh, there's nothing you can do, nothing you can do. That at this point, I'm just like, remember when you did a pregame show and you were like, Danny, what's your pregame speech to the guys in the locker room? I was like, you're undefeated and you're not good enough, damn it. And I was like yelling at him and I was excoriating the team in my hypothetical pregame speech. And that's how I feel right now, is just like, it's not good enough to just say, oh, we were beaten by a wonder strike, when there's clearly obvious defensive lapses and there's things you could learn. It's fine for Dean and them to say that at the press conference. I hope they're saying something different when they go to the film session.
Yeah. I think Keegan made a really good point in the comments. It's really hard to defend a forward coming across in the midfield. Like, our field's foot positioning, his footwork really had to change in that moment. He also had to be aware of who could help him, if he should have maybe dove a little bit with his leg for that stop. So that was a really good point. You have to be like athletically able to.
If anyone should be familiar with Lorenzo Insigne's game on this club, it should be Scott Arfield, right?
Yeah, Scott
Champions League,
of course, knows how to defend in this situation. But I'll just go back to my original point, even though I was being satirical, is the fact that if I were to choose the worst person put in that situation on the squad of the 11 players that were on the field, Scott Arfield would have been the worst player in that situation.
Yeah.
He's just not at this stage in his career coming onto the pitch with 20 minutes left in the match to play defense.
Right.
Well, you can see it. He's playing a step off because he knows he can't do it.
Right.
To your point.
Exactly. He needs space. He can get right. Beat easily.
I bet he wishes he would have forced him wide though, instead of letting him lean in. I wish he would. I'm sure he's thinking, okay, force him wide. Don't let him get across on that left. And it's just like,
hindsight's 2020.
Yeah, unfortunate.
Wait, is that the saying? Hindsight's 2020?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, okay.
Nice. I like that.
Just making sure.
So, okay, so we gave up the goal, right? And it was late, and we had done had such – we'd been difficult to play against. We had a really nice defensive organization. And that's where we get to my – where I think the problem is with this team and where this team needs to go – really focus on in the next coming weeks here as we go to Nashville and then bring it home against two really tough teams. We got to score more goals. We're getting the chances. We've got to score more goals. And I got to – we got to call out our DP. Copetti's the man. I got a pretty sad little highlight rip here that I want to play, and then I want to tee you guys up and see what y'all think about it, all right?
Bodies in the six, trying to block Luka Gavran. Vargas punched away. Westwood into the mixer. Copetti! Navaj. Lovely footwork from the Portuguese into Copetti. Copetti around Gavran. He grows the ground. There's no appeal from the Argentine. Check by VAR.
And here's the play. Tavares comes in and plays an absolute peach of a ball here to the Argentine striker. And Gavran comes off his line. Does he get a touch to the ball or the striker? Yeah, it looks like landing gear from Copetti. Gavran does a good job to make sure that he doesn't get a touch in on the arc.
The correct one, according to you, Jalil Anibaba.
Good feet there from Berachayan. That's a difficult ball in through the lines from Alanda. Again, a very good ball. Charlotte's off to
Westwood to Copetti. Copetti's away from the defender. Saved by Gavran and poked away by...
I couldn't even bring myself to put a replay of that last one because it made me so mad. No, just kidding. I would have put it, but they didn't provide it to me in the highlight package. But that last one is bad. What do you guys think of just what we just saw there?
I want to hear from Anna on that big chance missed, that final highlight that we saw. But I do want to address the penalty that was called that went to VAR
right.
In the box. Was it a penalty on the field?
It was not a penalty on the field. The play continued for like 3 or 4 minutes, and then they told him to go to VAR. Here it is right here.
Asked the referee to go take a look at the monitor. This could have been a foul, and it wasn't.
Right, was not a foul.
The reason why it wasn't a foul is because somehow, some way, Enzo Copetti, the master of getting fouled, the master of receiving contact and going to the ground, somehow, some way, Enzo Copetti could not drag his right leg, receive contact from that keeper, and go to the spot. And I bring this up because things are starting to add up for me when it comes to Enzo Copetti. I mean, this is a striker's opportunity to do exactly what they've been taught to do their entire career. That sliding tackle by the keeper is so egregious. Mm-hmm. And the fact that you don't have the wits about you to drag your
right
foot,
how do you
receive the contact and go take a penalty to get the game started 1-0 is absolutely absurd, especially coming from the guy that loves to just flop all over the floor all game long.
Right. This
guy, he's starting to drive me insane.
And he picks his right foot up there. You can see on the one replay.
Yeah,
he hops over the keeper's leg instead of dragging it. Yeah.
He's inside the box. He says, you know what? I'm actually going to go around. I mean, it's just an egregious sliding tackle by that keeper there.
Right. And the backup keeper, by the way, not their starting right. keeper got hurt in training the day before the game.
I appreciate you letting me jump in there and go off on that. I really wanted to. But it was a big chance that was,
it was.
Was missed as well.
Right.
I think Copetti thought he had beat the defender that was coming in, so maybe he could slide it in with his left foot. But to your point,
this one's way worse.
As an elite number nine, you have to know to be fouled in that moment, to go down and draw that contact.
Anna, tell us what you think here, because this is just bad. This is such a sick entry pass, too.
And it's a great touch from Copetti to beat his defender, to go central. He's essentially 1v1 against the goalkeeper, and to shoot it down the middle of the goal. That's as a number nine. Right. You see the left, you see the right, or take an extra touch and see where the goalkeeper is trying to dive and go the opposite way. I mean, he is dead center at the top of the 18. The goalkeeper's a few steps off of his line.
And he's trying to go inside post here.
Right.
He's trying to beat the keeper on the keeper's
right
on Enzo's left. And it just...
And the amount of film Copetti watches in
Outside post. Excuse me.
No,
sorry.
I'm following.
But he had like tons of room there on the other side,
he
on the left side.
And he watches film on this.
Right.
Well, maybe it's not much film because he was new to the game, but
as a new keeper,
you still watch enough film to know where their tendencies are or where they want to dive. So going the opposite way in the moment, I mean, so many good opportunities
And Westwood, the touch you say is so good. Like Westwood puts this ball in a nice spot and ends up with that first touch is brilliant.
Let me call out this. Pause right there. Move it back just a few frames, Danny Rams, because there's this incredible comment again from Keegan in the chat. He goes, "What exactly has Nate Burns seen all season that makes him think he should be celebrating before Enzo buries the chance?"
Oh, good point.
Nathan Burns is down there, has hands in the air. He thinks it's
yeah. You can see old Bernie.
Everybody expected the one-on-one to be finished.
We even said that Thursday, like this was Capetti's game to show up and to find the back of the net. I think a third game, he's feeling the pressure.
Look at Burn. Burn is celebrating. Oh my gosh, Keegan. Great spot by Keegan there for sure. That is amazing.
That is a great spot. And shout out to the Rev, Christopher Gallagher, of course, talking about Capetti needing to drag his foot to get that contact. Great call, like Darwin Nunez did today for Liverpool. That's exactly right. If you haven't seen that play today, Darwin Nunez in the massive Premier League match this morning, he got fouled in the box on the keeper, received the contact. Alex McAllister stepped up to the spot, scores the game tying goal, and it's one of the biggest goals of the season. And, you know, for me personally, Danny Rams, and by the way, shout out to the Rev. He brought us some incredible, this incredible gift yesterday to the party where Danny Brams and I could be handing out red cards and yellow cards as well.
Do you want to go through the list of yellow cards that you, John actually issued some yellow cards and wrote them down in his book. Yeah.
With the little pencil he gave you.
Yeah, with the pencil, yeah.
How cute.
Pencil,
just like exactly right. So there's three things that I wrote down. And the first one is that Matt Gesling got a yellow card as well.
Acting like a general jackassery, right? Yes. Yeah.
And by the way, Matt, thank you so much for all the photos and
amazing
all
stuff.
Your help at the party as well. It was one of those, it was a professional yellow on his part for sure.
Sure.
Yeah, nothing against him, but Enzo Capetti, yellow card as well for those big chance missed.
We know
and
why.
Who's number 99 on Toronto? Right, number 99 on Toronto. He's the player that caused, in my opinion,
Prince Osei Owusu.
All the ruckus at the end of the match. Mm-hmm. I felt like he deserved a yellow in this match for sure. And unfortunately, I've got Ashley Westwood down here as well. It just seemed like Ashley Westwood was absolutely cooked at the end of this match. And by the way, it seemed like he was cooked in that press conference as well. Not great vibes in that press conference after the match. And I've got one more. The yellow card for set pieces as well. So many corners. I think there was 8 or 9 corners.
Seven
corners.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot.
And in my opinion, if Charlotte FC has 7 or 8 or 9 corners on a day, you got to score off.
Well, Urso just missed. Urso had the glancing header go just wide. Privet had a headed shot on goal that could have gone in and was saved. We saw the triple, I don't know what we'd call that, the ball that was off Breck's head, off Addy's head, over to Enzo, and he heads it to the goalkeeper. So we had like 3 shots on goal off set pieces, just none of them went in. So don't love that. You mentioned Westwood, maybe his press conference. Let's listen to a little more of what Westwood and Dean had to say. This is them talking about first half chances and specifically Enzo and just what we need to do better.
Any trip on the road is tough, like I said, but we come here today and we've give a good account of ourselves, and like I said, we should have maybe got something in the first half, and then we would have seen it out.
He's not upset with his performance, and he shouldn't be. He'll be upset that he didn't score because he had a big chance. You know, and the referee got called over as well. He made some really good runs, and that's what we wanted to do, you know, because the referee was called over as well for another VAR incident. I haven't seen him back, so I don't know, you know. But as I said before, if he keeps making good runs, then he'll get good chances, you know, but he has to start taking them as well.
But.
Shout out to everybody in the comments who are hitting us up about our audio. I'll speak louder. I have no problem speaking louder, Dave.
I'm just eating the mic.
Dave's booming his mouth in here. We can definitely get into that and talk a little louder. Yes, this is a bare bones production. I think we do our production pretty well too, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely.
For the three of us just hanging out here at Hot Fly on Sunday afternoon. Hey,
it's all you guys.
And then we don't charge a subscription fee. Yeah, so you get a full refund if you don't like the audio, no doubt.
And we might even buy you some beers as well.
Mm-hmm. Cocktails.
Yeah, or cocktails. Yeah, cheers. Hanging out. So what did you make of what Dean Smith said there, Danny, post game? Did you think that he is somebody that is starting to see cracks in the foundation of his squad?
Well, remember what he said at the very beginning of the season, even before Swiderski left. He said, Enzo and Carroll are designated players, but they're not my designated players. They got to prove themselves to me. And Carroll didn't, and Carroll was shipped out. And Enzo's been getting his chances, but he's not taking his chances. And as Dean said there, it's a big, big deal. I think he's covering for Enzo. I do think Enzo, his XG on the year is about at one.
Yeah.
So it's like he should be I feel like he should have three goals already. I think he should have scored in every single game so far. He had the blown chances against Toronto and Vancouver, and he should have taken the penalty against New York. So yeah. Enzo should be sitting on three, maybe four goals if we get into those floodgates open situations. He's doing good work. He's getting decent player ratings. He's earning praise for his off-the-ball work, but he's hired, he's paid to score goals. And it's like, off-the-ball work is nice, you need it, but like a lot of people can do that.
Yeah. I don't know what you guys think about XGs. I read a very interesting book, and when I remember what the title is, I'll share, about XG and how it works and the people who created it and what they look for. But the game against Toronto, he had 0.28, which is terrible. He only had two shots. Right. But you look at everyone around who created opportunities. Westwood was the only one who created three opportunities. I mean, the rest of the midfield didn't create anything for him. So as much as you lean on a player like Capetti to score goals, this is a team sport and they do have to get the ball. I mean, in the first half, they only had, actually throughout the whole game, they had 40% of the possession, which is fairly okay, but in order for Capetti to score and get better opportunities, Charlotte has to win the ball a little bit higher up the field. And that's what we saw Smith doing. Like, he was screaming, step, get higher. He really wanted the forwards to step on Toronto's back line to win the ball, to create those better opportunities and to get that XG higher. So it's everyone, but I agree. Like, I mean, Capetti still has to show up.
For what it's worth, that's exactly why Anna Witty is here on the show, because as I'm sitting here bitching and moaning about our number nine not scoring and thinking about this as a singular issue for the squad, Anna, the real soccer analyst, you bring up a great point. And when I think back to the match, right, other than the crosses, other than the corners, not a lot of crosses into the box from midfield positions at all.
Right. Diagra, a guy that I chose to hopefully be the MVP of the team this season, has been mostly invisible, has not really delivered. I know he's doing work out there. I've liked his hustle. I really liked his hustle in the opener against New York. But I need to see more from him. This is a guy that I was out there telling people was going to be our best player this year.
Yeah, I mean, looking at Fought Mob, Diagra only had 7 passes in the final third.
That's horrible.
From your 10, you need 20?
Right.
I think in order to create for Capetti, I mean, yes, he's a 9, and I won't, repeat myself, but they have to be better in between the lines and they have to be better in the final third of the field. Defensively, I think they're set. It's just getting the front five on a similar page.
I mean, Breck's numbers look like a 6 to me, not a 10, you know, that or maybe an 8. But I mean, you look, he's got, you know, more fouls than he was fouled. He's got more tackles than dribbles. And it gets to the point where it's like, you know,
two touches in the opposition box.
Right. And I like,
not even a shot.
I like the heat map. I don't hate the heat map, but I don't love the heat map. He's a number 10 and his two red spots are on the wings. Again, our whole issue was we didn't want Diagra on the wings. We wanted him to be playing centrally more this year. So I don't know. We need to see more. I need to see more from the guy.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I think we're cutting through the bullshit right now. I think this has been a really good segment and I think it's been a sobering segment. And this doesn't mean that things are going poorly. It does not mean that Charlotte FC is in a spiral right now. I think what it means is that after getting 3 points to start the season and having to go play a really, really tough road match at Vancouver, one of the longest trip of the season.
The longest possible trip we could make.
You feel good about that coming back to Charlotte, but then you got to go back up to Canada again. And I think another point worth making is the last 2 weeks were both teams' home openers as well.
The vibe, the
atmosphere in Toronto, you could see by that goal. It was a really great atmosphere in Toronto yesterday. And it was a really difficult place to win. But, and I mean this sincerely, is that when you look at both games, both Vancouver and Toronto, the thing that really sticks in my crawl when I go to bed at night, when I wake up in the morning and I think about 1 point out of six, I remember these big chances in the first half, and I just think these games could have looked so different. Mm-hmm. And as a player, right, and you're out there, you're going 90 minutes, of course, in the Premier League specifically, there's a stat this season where so many goals are happening after 85 minutes. That aside, right, there's going to be a lot of goals scored at the end of games. But when you can score goals in the first half, right, when you can cash one in, when you can go into halftime feeling good about yourself, all of a sudden, you feel the confidence to go back out there. Two games in a row now where Charlotte FC concedes heading into halftime and also goes into halftime without any goals. Yeah. What can you do in the first half to make sure that you're scoring goals and giving confidence to your squad?
You have to dominate the possession a little bit more. And it's fair to your point. I think going into somebody else's home on their opening day, you know, you're not going to possess the ball as much as the opposition. So the defensive pressure was there, but I think you have to be able to create more in the final third. You have to be more of an attacking mindset and not so much leaning on your defensive set. And I think, too, as the season goes on, it's going to get better. Like, we have to remember, this is only the third regular season game that they have with Coach Smith. Right. And I think they're
still
trying
to... We're used to sitting 0-3 after three games the first 2 years of the franchise.
Yeah, we've got 4 points.
Yeah, we're actually...
In a great spot.
Literally infinitely ahead of our pace mathematically there, so...
Yeah. No, and it's all good. I just think now they've got the defensive piece set, which sometimes is the hardest piece to get set.
Sure. They're very organized.
Very organized.
The funny thing to me, I said this yesterday, Dean Smith wasn't necessarily known as a defensive coach back in England. He was known as sort of a run and gun, you know, outscore the opponent. He wasn't a guy that really concerned himself too much with defense. But just by having a little bit of English Premier League pedigree and coming in here and just like doing the basics, he's already improved our defense without hardly even making it his big focus. I think that's great.
And I think MLS is naturally a transitional league. So we're used to seeing like them teams trying to get forward really quickly and break lines. Charlotte's made that really difficult for other teams to do because of that defensive pressure. That's how they got their goal last week, was they stepped, they cornered Vancouver in the corner. They won the ball back. They put the ball in the box and then a Tarbish goal.
A great cross from Brecht. You know, he did have, you know, he can cross it, folks. You know, we like to see it. So you guys are talking, and it's just so interesting that that's where you guys took the conversation, was first half, first, second half, because that is the final soundbite rip that I put together here from Westy and the coach, which is basically just them talking about what they've seen as an inability to finish games, basically. And so let's listen to this and then come out on the back end. And I think you guys are going to like what you hear. And I think you're really going to like what you hear right at the end of this from Dino.
For first half, definitely. I thought we had really good control of the game today, with and without the ball. We made them go where we wanted them to without it. And with the ball, I thought we was a real threat, you know, and caused them lots and lots of problems. You know, second half, I thought they came out a little bit better than we did, and we stopped putting balls into areas that was causing them problems. I thought they did okay, to be honest.
It's these things happen. We've shown we're on the road. It's never easy. Like I said, with New York, we've scored a goal and did what we needed to do to get the win. We look organized. We're creating chances. Like I said, we're making chances. So we're not worried about we haven't scored in the second half. That's not in our minds at all. Not one bit. We're creating chances, and the manager said good players get chances. So that's what we're doing. We take positives out of that. We should be scoring them, but these things, this is what football is. Early in the season, there's a long way to go, and we're all going to get better.
Yeah, pretty much so. And you know, I just said to the players, I mean, what was the 82nd minute or something they scored? I think that's the first time since I've been at the club, including all pre-season games, that we've actually fell behind in a game. You know, I thought we'd give them loads of problems in the first half by playing balls into the spaces in behind them. And we probably stopped that a little bit in the second half. And the positive first half that we had probably went. And there's been a theme a little bit, that I'll look at over the first three games of the season. We've probably been too big a drop off in the second half that we haven't managed to change from the bench so far. But hopefully we will with the players who are coming in as well.
A really astute point from Dean Smith there about the drop-off in the second half.
And it's a theme. It's a little bit of a theme he started to notice through three games. You know?
Exactly. I think
I've noticed it too, Dean, by the way. I think everybody watching has noticed.
Yeah. Patrick Osgerman, I think part of the reason why the drop-off happens is because the substitutes are not doing a good job off the bench. Right. It just is what it is at this point. I don't want to make a referendum on the bench at this moment, but what I'll say is that Scotty Arfield obviously did not do a good job against Insigne.
Nope.
And Patrick Osgerman has come out now two games in a row.
Fluffed
and
his chance
of Vancouver. And made no impact whatsoever. So Dean Smith is right. There's a theme, but how do you fix it?
Get the subs on the field a little bit earlier.
Subs? No? Yeah, exactly.
You got to give these players a few more minutes to get into the game. 20 minutes and expect them to have like a peak performance when your team goes down 10 minutes later. For me, I'm not saying these are the right subs or maybe they don't have the depth that they want at this moment, but the 60th minute when you see your team maybe needing that extra oomph, just put like one sub out on the field. Personally, would be my
A lot of times, Anna, I think about substitutions as a manager versus manager momentum situation.
Yeah.
And when I saw John Herdman call his substitutes up off the bench first to put him in the game, I go, Herdman makes the first move.
Yeah.
How is Dean going to respond? And I thought it took a long time because Herdman's substitutions came in 10 minutes before.
3 minutes. They had three subs before Charlotte had one.
Right.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so I think John Herdman did a heck of a job.
And there was a tactical change involved in that as well. And right. It was effective.
Right.
So I am full Dino's at the wheel.
Right.
But I'm also willing to recognize when
Dino's
he gets
100% at the
outmanaged
wheel,
and John Herdman deserves credit because he managed his team brilliantly yesterday.
And maybe
don't forget it.
Dean is trying to figure out how far he can stretch his starters. Like, what is their breaking point? When can they, when do they need that sub, and who is that good sub off the bench?
I'll tell you, that sub's about to be Mr. Yuri Tavares, who has been starting, because the key thing that Dino said there at the end is we're getting some players in.
Okay.
And everybody needs to keep this whole fresh mindset. If you were upset about yesterday's loss, just remember, we've got Abada. He's on the wing, and he's coming in. Liel Abada is going to make a massive difference in this club, in this culture, in this league. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to instantly become our best player. I hope. Maybe I'm putting too much pressure on him. But just from what he's been able to accomplish, he accomplished a lot more in the Scottish League than Enzo Capetti even accomplished in the Argentine League. So I'm going to put that mantle on Abada of coming in here to be our best player until we sign a new DP number 10 in the summer. Who knows? But ooh. I just think Abada's going to make a huge difference because he gives us that extra depth. Tavares is a guy who is very good. He's already scored an MLS goal. Tavares coming in off the bench is a little bit better than Nimfasha Burkima's coming off the bench, in my opinion. As much as I love Nimfasha, as great as a future he has, Tavares a little I feel a little more dangerous with Tavares.
What if you put Abada in the 10 role, which is where they need help? Or maybe you slide one of the wingers in, like Vargas comes in.
It's a good question.
They tried Vargas at the 10 once, didn't they?
Yeah, but he'd have a better.
They tried Camille at the 10. They tried Camille at the 10 once, and it was horrible. I don't think we've ever tried Vargas at the 10. I don't hate it. How about Vargas as a striker and Copetti gets to take Copetti out for a game?
Might as well.
That's probably more Ajimong if Copetti rests. But I mean, it's interesting. I think Abada's tough for me to consider as a 10 just because everything they said about the wing. But I like where you're going with, like, let's reimagine everything. Let's not lock anyone into pigeonhole position.
And maybe he likes the 10 better. And maybe that's what worked for him in Scotland. But maybe he's more comfortable. Probably not. Right, but I'm just saying, we don't know, and maybe they might try a different formation. Who knows?
I love your creative
reaching for the stars.
Your creative thinking, because that's MLS, right?
Yeah.
MLS is a league where you can be creative, where you have players who can make impact at so many different forward positions. Because when you have a skill set, when you have talent that is so much better than maybe the rest of the league, and at this point, based on what we've heard, Liel Abada is somebody that was potentially set for a move to the English Premier League,
Everton,
in a year
Crystal
or two.
Palace, yeah.
Mm-hmm. If he's the type of player that's coming into Charlotte FC, even though he's a traditional right winger, and that's where I'd love to see him play and play directly, if he has any interest in playing the 10, why not give him a look there too?
Sure.
And help him build out his profile as a complete player.
I would like to see him as doing what Denny Bouanga does for LAFC, which is a winger who just does everything. And especially now that Vela has left their team, like, I just think he can have that type of impact. Like, he is a winger, but we want the ball at his feet. And he is a little bit of a tap-in merchant also, but he got a lot of assists. So, like, let's give him the ball, and let's make sure I cannot have Liel Abada show up, and we assume his debut is going to be a home debut against Cincinnati in 2 weeks. I can't have him show up and, like, not be getting passes. It's like every pass, the first 50 passes of the match need to be from whoever's got the ball passed to Liel. That's where I'm at right now.
Get him comfortable.
That would be good.
Get him comfortable.
Yeah.
There's nothing like a new player getting into a squad and feeling comfortable on the ball. Touches really matter. They do.
Right.
When you have those touches, when you get those touches, especially in the final third, it just builds confidence. So it's been a pleasure hanging out with y'all on the show today. Yeah. Don't worry, we've got more to come.
We're not done.
Anna Whitty is here.
I need to catch up. You guys, like, I look over and you've already drank your entire drink.
Beer. You've got a Paloma.
Let's check the scoreboard here.
I was pretty weak the other week,
I'm done. I'm done.
Johnny's on number two, though. I'm on number one. So
it's a Sunday show at Hot Fly. This is something that we really enjoy doing. We appreciate everybody being here live. What we're going to do on the other side is we're going to come back. We're going to give you an MLS scoreboard update, some interesting scores today
Sunday
in the
results.
League,
crazy.
As well as yesterday, too.
Shout out McKenzie Gaines.
Three games in, Danny. And I am now interested in talking about the table on the show, which is super exciting.
We love the table.
I waited till three games to start talking about the table. We're going to do that. And we're going to highlight a Charlotte FC player that is not getting enough attention. He's a classy player. We're going to discuss him next. It's Charlotte Soccer Show. We're back after this. Welcome back here at Hot Fly. Cheers to you, Danny. Cheers to being human together. And
human
cheers
together.
To you.
Human together.
And as well, I'm sorry to cheers
had
in
to
front
switch
of you.
It up.
It's okay. But, what'd you get?
We've got Human Together.
Human Together.
Yes. Human Together, baby.
I like that name. They've got such creative names here.
They do have great names. That's why I like saying it on the show, too.
Yeah.
Hotfly has this Fresh Drop Friday
series
where every Friday they brew new beers and launch them here. So they can really come up with as many names as possible, right?
Yeah.
Humanly possible.
Yeah.
Human together.
Well, the thing human of it is, together. I always say it's impossible to be human alone because the human condition is society and community. So you can't be a human unless you're together, in my personal opinion. So.
I could not agree with you more. And it's so nice to just be here on a Sunday afternoon with our friend Anna, of course, with Danny as well. And with all of our friends, our tremendous friends of the show on Saturday.
Who stuck with us through a little break there. Thank you, everybody who stuck through the break. Hopefully you're hearing the audio. We tried to do a minor adjustment there. Hopefully everybody's feeling good, hearing good, and loving life based on what we saw in MLS today, Johnny.
MLS scoreboard time. And we wanted to bring this up right now because Nashville, Charlotte FC's next opponent, played this afternoon, and they tied LA Galaxy 2-2. Danny, I wanted to bring up this point to you, right? When Charlotte FC finished its match yesterday at 4 p.m. Eastern time against Nashville.
Against Toronto.
Against Toronto, excuse me. Nashville still had 180 minutes of football to play before we meet them on Saturday.
And we like that.
In the Music City. I think that really bodes well for Charlotte FC.
Well, they got another, 90 minutes? Oh, you're right. Sorry, 180. So another one Wednesday.
Yes.
Sorry. the math wasn't mathing for me there.
It's all right. You got there.
I got there.
It doesn't matter how long it takes to get there. Just get there.
At least I'm here. Yeah. No, that is a huge plus, especially when Charlotte has to stay on the road. They're traveling again to Nashville. I think that's always something that you have in your back pocket, that you have a few days ahead region-wise and game planning.
Even though we're going on the road, and Nashville played a total clown car lineup today. They played all subs. They started McKenzie Gaines, who has not been a starter for them normally. He got an assist. We love you, McKenzie. Come on the show. Always for hashtag forever the crown, McKenzie Gaines. But he got an assist today in their 2-2 draw. I think they were up 2-0. I think they conceded two late ones to draw. That's good because if you looked at the table today, even after our loss against Toronto, if you look at the Eastern Conference table today, Charlotte FC's in a playoff spot and Nashville's not. So I know we're going on the road to their place, but with the extra games and the banged up injuries and them not really, they keep rotating their goalkeepers between Joe Willis and Elliot Panico. We have to feel like this is another chance to go up and get points on the road.
And every time Charlotte FC drops 3 points on a weekend, I'm always looking at the scoreboard to see who else is dropping points. And to see today, Cincinnati and DC United.
That's a great draw for us.
Both
dropping
2 points, if you will. That's a great draw for Charlotte FC. Those are two clubs that Charlotte FC is going to be competing with over the next 5 months.
And to see Inter Miami trailing a half. No Messi in the lineup. Messi's out. Suarez on the bench.
Miami's losing.
Ariel Lassiter with the assist. Son of Roy. Roy Lassiter, a name that you might become familiar with here in the next week. But I think it's time, Johnny. Now, you said you don't like to do this too early, but I think it's time to look at the table. I referenced it, and it's crazy to think that we're in playoff position. It's a good feeling.
I've got thoughts on this table. You can see Charlotte FC right there in the eighth position, which is the play-in match. I would very much prefer to not have to do that again this season.
A play-in match against Atlanta would be pretty amazing.
It would be the ultimate derby.
By the way, just quick mea culpa here. I got to do it. I did my banter with Atlanta when we had Kalen on the show. I said, aha, you just sleep when you need to catch up on sleep. You just turn on an Atlanta United game. You catch up on your sleep. They posted 4 goals against New England on Saturday, including a hat trick from Giomaki. So I apologize, Atlanta. It's just banter. Get over it. I heard some shit being talked my way.
Oh.
Just because I'm having a little fun. Proceed.
Yeah, I mean, I woke up one morning, I looked at our notifications on X, and I saw some Atlanta fan trying to say that he was sleeping with my mother, and I was like, I don't think you have. Anyway, here's the table, and I'm curious to get Adam's take on this table right now.
Yeah.
Obviously, someone that covers MLS as a whole, Where does Charlotte kind of fit into this mix right now? It feels like a team, based on what everybody said preseason, that shouldn't be even there at this point.
Yeah, I think in middle of the table really is a good spot to be. I think it's still really early where they're still, you could see they're tinkering with some things, especially in the attack, but you have to be happy that you're not at the bottom and you're not working up. I think the biggest thing to keep your eye on at this point is the goals for. Right now, Charlotte has 2, Atlanta has 4. And those become really important towards the end. I mean, Inter Miami sitting at the top with 8 in the Eastern Conference. Points are important, but also making sure you're getting those goals outside of just the points.
Yeah, we need Miami to lose this game.
Yeah.
I predicted that Miami would be a fringe playoff team with all their old guys.
Because if Miami does...
Really? That's what you predicted?
Yeah,
why?
When Ferrios, once Facundo Ferrios, their young guy that they signed,
yes,
when he got injured and out for the year, I was like, they're not going to make it because Suarez and Messi and Busquets, I don't think they'll hold up for the whole, whole year. So we'll see.
I don't know. We'll I go against that. I'm going to say that right now just to be devil's advocate.
You should, for sure. Yeah,
sure. Like, I think they'll...
I'm just... It's a bold take for me to predict Miami is weak this year, but I really think they will be.
I'm with Anna for what it's worth, yeah. And the reason why is because in MLS, I just kind of think that there's this ace in the deck, if you will, when you have players that know how to score.
Yeah, when you have the best players.
Yeah,
of all time, you saw it in the,
I get it.
You saw it in the Champions Cup.
Yep.
This past week, where Luis Suarez at the end of the match knew exactly how to put one in,
right,
to get Miami a result that they needed.
And they know how to manage themselves. I mean, they had an insane preseason. Like, soccer aside, they were traveling like crazy. And for them to be able to now put away 8 goals, I know it's still the beginning of the season, but preseason, man, that takes a toll on people who are 36, 37 in this league.
It does take a toll, and that's why some out there are predicting them to be a fringe playoff team. But
he's saying to go a good way.
Looking down at the bottom of the table, kind of weird to me to see Orlando and New England both sitting at a -6 goal differential down at the bottom of the table.
Whoa.
These are two teams that were predicted to be up near the top of the table in terms of having some of the most talent on their squads. So there's still a lot of shape to be taken here from this table. But I got to say, it does feel pretty nice to be sitting in the middle of it instead of at the bottom of it.
Totally.
It's not even about the place on the table for me right now. It's points.
What is it?
It's
about
the points accumulation.
Sure. And the goal
and diff. The reason why this Inter-Miami Montreal match is so important. By the way, we're going to be done here in just a few minutes. So after we're done, you can switch over to that. Don't do that right now.
But don't do it yet.
No, we're still here.
Thanks, everyone, for being here.
If Miami does lose, Charlotte FC is 3 points off of first place in the East.
Right.
And when you think about it that way, I think that's the best way to think about the table at this point. So that's your MLS table update. And, Danny, we've got one final segment on the show tonight.
Well, Charlotte is a soccer city, and there's a huge soccer match tonight.
Well, there is. We're going to talk about US.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. I skipped
jumped
one
the
second.
Gun.
Yeah, I jumped the
you
gun.
Jumped the gun. We're going to get to that. Anna's going to give us a breakdown of the United States women's national team, their match tonight.
That'll be a good one.
But first, I thought was important to do today is we are going to do a Yeri Yurinen appreciation segment.
Yeri. For Yeri.
Yeri Yurinen is, at this point, 3 games in, the highest rated player on Charlotte FC's squad compared to the rest of the league. And when I was watching this match yesterday, I was absolutely drooling over the performance from the left back. Mm-hmm. And a left back is a position that you're pretty familiar with.
Right.
My favorite.
What have you seen from Yere so far this season?
Well, he's extremely dynamic. And I mean that because he's so good at taking corner kicks, but he's also great at getting up and down the flank defensively, being set. He's really good when the game's in front of him.
Look,
but those corner kicks, I mean, he was all over it. I think closing down what you mentioned it Thursday, Danny, like Toronto wants to use the flanks and get the ball inside. And he really lessened the opportunities that Privet and Milanda might be on their back foot. And those corner kicks, to go back to it, 7 corner kicks for this side, all of them were phenomenal. And he's got a high ceiling.
Yeah, I think it was they wanted in-swingers. I figured they probably, against a new keeper, they just wanted to get some in-swingers from the left. And that's why they took Kerwin off. Kerwin Vargas had been on the right side of corner kicks, kicking out swingers and more, really kicking sort of a low flat ball. We saw that on the Tavares chance that led to the Milan goal in week 1. That was off a really nice corner from the right that Kerwin took. But Yere replaced him in this match on the right side of corners. Kerwin had the left side of corners. I think they just wanted in swingers coming at that new keeper. And it paid off. I mean, he had the really nice corner to Urso, who had the glancing header. He had the really nice corner to Privet, who almost had a goal in the back post off of a Yere corner. So Yere's serving up a nice ball.
I'm still waiting for Andrew Privet's first MLS goal. And when that happens, Anna and we're going to be celebrating.
Freak out.
Here's a question, a tactical question for you, Anna.
Okay.
You're left back and you've got to jog all the way over to the opposite, the right corner to take the corner kicks. Does that put you out of position? Like, do you have to sprint yourself back to your spot once you take that corner from the other side, or what's the deal there?
I'd say no. I think it's Tavares either drops off or Burns slides over, however the team wants to do it. Sometimes it's Privet would slide into that role if Toronto got a transition moment.
Okay.
Yernan's able to slide into that right spot. But to your point, I think those in-swingers are important because why not take an opportunity? And they were on the six. These players knew exactly where to be, but it just like, it wasn't enough. I mean, also to point out, I don't want to miss this. He had six passes into the final third. That's more than the center midfielders.
Right.
Yere was absolutely cooking.
Come on, Andy.
And this is why this is the Yere Yernan appreciation segment.
Yeah.
Because you're talking about a player that plays at the international level. You're talking about the first choice Finland left back, who's also the first choice Charlotte FC left back. So as Dean Smith is starting to mold this squad into the image of what he wants Charlotte FC to be, players are going to step up and start proving to Dean Smith that you can't drop me. And Yere Yernan is one of those players, no doubt about it.
For sure. I mean, Charlotte really uses their wide players. Byrne had a similar amount of touches, maybe not similar amount. He had seven passes into the final third. So Charlotte's really using those wide pieces because they have the athletic ability to get up and down. Now it needs to be a little bit more from like the 10, or just the midfield needs to be able to get that umph as well. It can't just be from the wide areas. But yeah.
Can I tell you when I fell in love with Yere?
Yes.
And I always liked him, but it was when we were at the availability probably 3 weeks ago, right? Ahead of the home opener.
Yes.
And Yere came out to talk to us and he dropped this absolute gem of a soundbite.
When you play with a smile on your lips, you feel a little bit faster. You don't get tired.
It's almost like me on the show. When I do the show with a smile on my face, I definitely enjoy it more than when I'm acting all pissed off and angry.
And Gary's been putting a smile on your face.
He has. And it's not just about the passes in the final third, right? It's not just about his ability to play corners as well.
Mm-hmm.
There's a phrase that I love to use when I'm watching a soccer match and when I feel like the team like really isn't connecting. I beg the squad, screaming at the television, I say, knock it around a little bit. You know, let's knock it around. Let's maintain some possession.
Right.
And you want to
let everybody feel what the ball feels like at their feet for a second.
Exactly. Yes. Right. And when Charlotte FC is yearning for that moment, Yere Yernan's the perfect person to give the ball to because he can maintain possession, he can make the right pass, and he can knock it around a little bit.
Yeah, and he's playing next to a center back who's new to the league and Privet, so Privet has that comfortability next to him, knowing that he's going to lead in moments that he doesn't understand. Maybe there's going to be moments this early on in his career for sure. I think I agree. That's a good point.
He's a big part of what we're doing, and I think as tough as it is to eat this loss in Toronto when we feel like we should have had a point for sure based on our efforts and our control and the fact that we were beaten by a worldie, it feels like we should have a point. And so you wake up today and you're feeling, I don't know. But when you think back on that performance, and I think if you go back and rewatch the game, even if you just rewatch the highlight package, you're going to feel a lot better, and you're going to watch Yere, and you're gonna be like, man, this guy's making an impact, and this is like – like as someone in the chat said, you know, we used to bitch about left back forever. We had Joggin' Joe out there.
It was
Joggin' Joe. Where did you get that? That's amazing. I'm stealing that.
Good old Joggin' Joe.
Is that you?
He's killing it down in Costa Rica, by the way.
He
actually had a really good match in the CONCACAF Champions Cup, but then
he wasn't jogging that
game. He had moved to center back. He jogged so much at left back, they moved him to center back, actually. But Joggin' Joe was there. Remember Brant Bronico played a game at left back? It was horrible. So Latin Fire has a really good identification
here,
something that we needed for sure. And Alan Schmidt, you know, 134 appearances for Genk. Genk's a really, you know, if you hear the word Genk, you know, you're probably like, who the F is that? They're one of the better clubs in Belgium, and they have been for a long time. So, it was a great find. And Alan Schmidt loves the GIF loop. You know, when you play with a smile on your face.
Smile on your lips.
On your lips. You know, you play faster. You don't get tired. Yeah.
So good.
What a guy Yuri Yurinen is. And that's one thing that we love to do on the show. And we're not gonna hide it. We're not gonna pretend like it doesn't exist. You know, we like to fall in love with Charlotte FC players. We like to enjoy the football that these players do week in and week out. That's why Danny and I love to go to training. Anna was there with us this week as well. It was great to have you, by the way.
Yeah.
This week.
Yeah, it was a beautiful facility. I mean, the fields, everything. I was really impressed with really like how their communications guide, put the whole thing together. It was such a fun, really cool, like, moment to meet these
guys. That's the one and only Will Martin.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the access is a real thing too, because there was a photo taken that it said, hey, it was a rainy.
It was ugly.
Wednesday morning, it was ugly. And there were still many people that showed up to talk to the players. It was Yuri Tavares, it was Andrew Privet. It was earlier this week. You got your chance to go over there. We're going to be back there this week on Wednesday and Thursday as well, just to keep up with the questions. So I'm going to ask Dean Smith about Enzo Capetti again this week, just for what it's worth.
You should.
He's going to get pissed off at me at some point here in the next couple of weeks. I'm going
to
ask you.
I said this last episode. They need to have like a second camera on John when like everybody else is done at the press conferences. And John's just like firing more and more questions at Dino. It's amazing.
Oh, there was,
it's like a conversation. Yeah,
Will Martin, who you mentioned, it was like everyone was done asking. And he goes, last call. Any other questions? I got more. I got another one. I keep going.
I appreciate
Dean's time, and I'll tell an inside story.
Do it
about the press conference,
please.
On Thursday, that is enjoyable. Is that we've talked about some of these British terms, American terms being lost in translation, and our friend Bridget McCall, the Queen's Pitch podcast, she was there and she asked Dean Smith about Toronto's Olympico goal last year.
They scored two against us, right?
Against Charlotte FC, against the wind.
Against the wind.
That's what happened last year at Toronto. It was a crazy game. There was like 40-mile-per-hour winds.
Oh my gosh.
And Toronto, it was an insane game. Right. I'll send you a link to it. And what ended up happening is if you were on a corner, you could whip it out all the way out to like the PK spot and the wind would bend it into the far corner.
Oh my gosh.
And was it Bernadeschi?
Bernadeschi, yeah, yeah. Mm. And also Messi has been attempting to score an Olympico like every match, basically off corners, because he's never done it, I guess.
So when Bridget asked Dean Smith that question, he kind of was like,
Have you guys been practicing your Olympicos?
Wait, he didn't know.
Yeah, he was like, what's an Olympico?
I'll be honest. I didn't know until last season.
Okay.
Yeah, I did not know.
It's something that people are finding out here because it's definitely a South American term. It was originated in South America.
Yeah.
For sure. South America, for sure.
Spelled with an I, not a Y.
So that was a really funny moment at the press conference. And then afterwards, we were all kind of hanging out after the press conference was over, laughing about the fact. And Dean made a joke. And he's like, yeah, when you said Olympico, you know, I wasn't quite sure what you were saying. And I learned something today. And he said, just like I learned something in Coachella when one of the staff members said that so-and-so is out there shagging soccer balls.
That's so good.
He was like,
I love the game, but
he was like, that means something different where I'm from.
Amazing. Amazing. Oh my gosh. I love that.
Yeah. So these little moments are happening around this English manager and don't picture anybody shagging any soccer balls. It's like shagging thighs. It was just such an American term that everybody gets, but Dean was like, what the fuck does that mean?
Huh? In the soccer balls on the field? I mean, in the locker room, maybe.
I did notice he uses the word gaffer a lot, and now the media has started to use it and asking questions, and I love that.
Gaffer.
That's a fun word.
And they start calling Westwood Skipper also.
I didn't notice that.
Yeah, the gaffer and the skipper. You know, skipper. Captain, the coach, the gaffer and the skipper, whatever you want to call them. But
we've got one more. I lied when I said we got one more segment. We had two more segments. Right. We're gonna end the show. Like the Patriots that we are, we're going to talk about the United States Women's National Team, who is playing tonight. Anna, of course, is a NWSL expert. She's a play-by-play announcer and analyst for NWSL as well. She's going to be working closely with the USL Super League here in Charlotte. We're waiting for the announcement of the team name. It should be coming soon. Actually, it's coming this month.
Yes.
We're going to be there at Protagonist in Loso this month to debut the team name. We're going to talk to a bunch of people there as well. But tonight there's a massive match with the United States Women's National Team and Brazil. Can you get us ready for that one?
Gosh, I mean, it's been one heck of a CONCACAF W Gold Cup tournament. I feel like, first of all, the win against Canada, if anybody watched it, that soccer field in LA was just straight water. Like, the ball was not moving. It went to PKs. So it wasn't a really good showing for the United States. The Colombia game is really where they bounce back from that Mexico loss. Alex Morgan redeemed herself. She went down in the box the way that Capetti should have gone down in the box. Exactly. He could take a expert note out of striker. Her book.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But
full circle. Well done.
Yeah. Thank you.
Love it.
But I think for US and for Kilgore, who's the interim head coach before Emma Hayes comes over from Chelsea, just continue to change up that lineup. Keep the young players on the field. I want to see more of Jenna Nyswanger. She's the next up and coming left back. Crystal Dunn might be out of a starting job. They might have to move her into the midfield because Nyswanger, rookie of the year last year for NWSL. I mean, you can't replace Girma in the center back role for them. And gosh, I think it's going to be really exciting. Brazil has that tiki-taka style of soccer. It's always really fun to watch. If you watch them in the World Cup, they had a pretty good performance.
Brazil's got a couple NWSL stars also,
they
right?
do. Ari Borges, who plays for Racing Louisville. Dabinha, who's going to be probably playing up top. She plays for Kansas City, who's opening up the first ever women's soccer stadium this season, CPKC. So, yeah, there's some really talented players for Brazil. I think this is going to be a really good tactical match for the U.S. because in the World Cup, they really struggled with their own tactics. This game is where they need to kind of figure out how to break down.
Give us a guaranteed goal. Who's scoring the goal for the United States tonight?
If Alex Morgan continues in her form, I think she'll score a goal. I haven't been really impressed with her of late, but that Colombia game, I think she really redeemed herself. She wasn't even initially on the training camp roster.
It's so funny to think of Alex Morgan. Like, now, I know I'm old now that Alex Morgan is like the wily vet of the squad instead of like the young up-and-comer, but hey, what can I say?
Yeah, I mean, gosh, maybe Jenna Nyswanger. She had a great goal against Colombia too, but we'll see.
I thought about that earlier in the tournament when I saw the picture of the starting 11. I always enjoy those before the match.
Oh, yeah.
When the 11 get together, they take the official photo.
Yeah.
Love those.
And I was looking at the squad, mm-hmm. and I saw Alex Morgan. I said, look at her, you know, towards the end of her career.
I know.
Still interested in playing. She's coming off being a mother as well.
Was yeah.
Her first child.
Charlie's her first kid, yeah.
Yes, exactly right. So she has a child. She comes back, mm-hmm. and she says, you know, I'm going to finish my career and do so at a high level and win a trophy. So for me, I'm circling Alex Morgan tonight. That's who I'm watching. That's why I want to turn on the TV and watch Alex.
She's good in those moments where she knows she hasn't been great of late, but she needs to redeem herself. There's not many people, I feel like,
clutch
in the
gene.
World in
that's
general.
That's called clutch gene.
Yeah. Yeah, that's another new word I learned here today.
Just like the press conference room or at AHPP, this is the learning room. You know, anyone can
every
learn.
Every Sunday.
Sure. Yeah.
So tonight, it'll be a fun one.
The match is 8:15
tonight? 8:15, and it'll be in San Diego, but 8:15 Eastern time.
8:15 Eastern.
So we can all watch it.
Tonight. So we've got a Sunday night of soccer in the QC. You can kick back on the couch tonight and watch the United States Women's National Team. Mm-hmm. What stage are they in the competition right
this
now?
This is the final.
I did not realize that.
W Gold Cup.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay. I did not realize it was the final. Tonight.
Let's go win the Gold Cup. Why not? Right?
Yeah, why not?
Let's go.
Good presidents headed into the Olympics. This is what they need. They need that umph.
By the way, I mentioned the USL Super League, mm-hmm. and I should mention that one of the assistants tonight on the bench is Philip Poole, who mm-hmm. will be the manager of the USL Super League team here.
Found the Charlotte tie. I love it. Brilliant.
If you want to get to know Philip Poole, make sure you go back on our podcast feed. You can hear our interview.
Great listen with
my interview with Philip Poole as well. And Anna, I know, is going to interview him soon as well here in town.
Chief Kiefer says Alex has ice in her veins. She will always show up when needed. Is that basically what you were trying to say?
Where does she rank, though? As far as, like, you know, United States Women's National Team players.
Oh, okay.
Where does she rank as far as all-time greats?
I mean, she's top five, easy. Like, for sure. The fact that she's been able to come back and redeem herself, like, she came back and her first season with San Diego, she, I think, won the Golden Boot. Like, she was insane. She was doing everything for that club, knowing she had to redeem herself if she wanted to make that World Cup roster. She's just one of those players, like I said, you just count on in those moments when you need her the most. So I also like recognize when she needs to get better. I'm not an Alex Morgan super fan. Yeah. I like her, but.
Oh, hey, that's the final. I mean, it's time to show up in
she's
the final.
Do
that's
it.
All I can say.
Her and Sophia Smith are going to be competing for that starting line.
I've got a feeling, and we talked about Enzo Capetti a lot tonight. Mm-hmm. We talked about what is required to play the number nine position at a very high level.
Talk about full circle.
Just make sure you turn on this match tonight. You'll see
yes.
it played at a very high level. You'll see Alex Morgan.
Being smart in the box.
Yes. Indeed.
Yes. Yes.
We appreciate everybody hanging out with us today on Charlotte Soccer Show. These Sunday shows, of course, streamed live at Hot Fly Brewing Company. Appreciate everybody being with us yesterday for the watch party.
You can always show up. We got seats right here if you want to show up. You know, get some free beers.
We have a special guest as well here watching us live here today. Shout out to Roma. Danny's daughter is here today. Shout out to her. It's always great to see her.
Making fun of me over on the side.
Hanging out. I think she's watching. I saw her with her AirPods in watching something. I think she was watching the show.
I think she had the AirPods in so she didn't have to hear the show.
fair enough. But Danny, it's always a pleasure, man. It's been a great weekend. It's been a great run of games. And you're heading out to Nashville
right.
this week.
So, let's do some quick business here for the next week because we have gone all in. Johnny and I and Anna have gone all in on the start of this year. We've been bringing you the Thursday previews, the Sunday shows, the Saturday parties, the Saturday pregame shows, the edits on the press conferences. We've decided we're going all in on this team because we love this team and we love the community that's built around it. And so we've gone hard these first 3 weeks. We have put out a ton of content. It's probably going to dial back a little bit this week. It's a tough week. I'm traveling for work. Johnny's got some stuff going on. So we may not have quite as many things in the feed, but I can't wait to get to Nashville, my first away day of the year. I will be there. I'll post stuff on the IG feed for my road trip. John will be here. And then we got a huge, huge, huge Sunday next Sunday. Why don't you tell her what's coming up?
Yeah, Crown Legacy, Carolina Core. It's the opening match of the MLS Next Pro season. We're going to be there pregaming. We're going to do a live pregame show. We're going to talk to Darius Barnes, Crown Legacy president.
We'll be at the tailgate.
We're going to be at the tailgate as well.
If you show up at the tailgate, you might get on the show.
I've got a feeling that we're going to bring some Hot Fly cans, too, to give out as well. Trust me, I've had this conversation.
Mint City Collective is going to be there. It's going to be great.
Yeah, it is going to be a really nice – and what we're going to do is –
We're supposed to have an interview with a first-team player. We may need to beat Nashville to get that commitment to follow through. But in theory, we'll have a first team player.
Yeah. Who knows? Well. Maybe it'll be Andrew Privet. Who knows? Yeah. But either way, the point is that next Sunday we're going to be live about 4 o'clock Eastern time, an hour ahead of that kickoff against Carolina Core for Crown Legacy. And this is a derby, but it's a bit of a friendly derby with this new Carolina Core franchise. And something that you can look out for this week, we are, believe it or not, on Charlotte Soccer Show, thanks to my friend Danny Brams over here, doing a Carolina Core season preview. We talked to Eddie Pope this week. You know him as one of the best United States men's national team defenders of all time. Mm-hmm. You know Roy Lassiter as well, who happens to be the Carolina Core head coach. I had fun with him because I was looking up his stats. And he scored 37 goals and 55 appearances for DC United. And I asked him, is that a typo, man? Because that's pretty damn fucking good.
that's amazing.
So he scored the most goals in a single season MLS history until 2018, where I think it was Joseph Martinez.
Joseph broke it, and then Zlatan broke Joseph's, and then Vela broke Zlatan's.
But he held that record for quite a bit of time.
Yeah, he did.
So check that
out. I think 20 years.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right. Wow. Yeah, check that out on our feed this week. We have those interviews coming for you as well. And we're going to cover the Charlotte Independence.
And we got
Independence.
Yeah, we went to the media days. We did a bunch of interviews at media days. We wanted to wait to release them. We didn't want our Independence stuff to get lost in sort of the wave of a Charlotte FC weekend. So look for that stuff on Tuesday. We've got Carolina Core. Start Tuesday and Wednesday, we'll roll out our Carolina Core, our Independence stuff. Independence debut next weekend. Legacy Core debut next weekend. Charlotte on the road. It's massive, man.
NC Courage season kicks off this weekend.
Kicks off. I mean,
or Carolina showing up.
Carolina's a soccer state.
It is.
The Carolinas are a soccer region. There's nothing about that. What's on your schedule for the next week?
I've got 4 NWSL games this upcoming weekend.
Wow.
Gosh, I don't even know off the voice of the top of my head. But I know Kansas City plays Portland Friday in their home opener in this brand new stadium in Kansas City. That's the only one I can tell you off the top of my head.
you can hear Anna all
game by game
weekend.
Basis. You know, it's a one right? every week.
The point is that the soccer season is blooming here in the Carolinas, as is all the beautiful flowers. We went on. I got a chance going to walk today with my wife with our two dogs, and just looking around. It's that time of the year where it's early March, and you pinch yourself and you say, "This is why I live in Charlotte."
Exactly.
It is beautiful. Today. Eat your honey so you don't get those allergies. That's what they say. If you eat local honey, you won't have an allergy reaction.
Thank you, bees. Appreciate you.
Yeah.
She's not just going to give you really intense soccer analysis. She's going to make you feel better at home as well.
Yeah, medical advice. That's me.
He's Anna Whitty. He's Daniel Bramlett. I'm John Hayes. And as always,
we're the Crown, baby.